Good morning, and if you have your Bibles and you're ready to go, everybody got enough coffee in you? Yeah? Okay, good. All right, now that we're over the ice storm, let's resume our studies here in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're getting down to the end of the fifth chapter here, and there's some things that we still need to go over pertaining to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I've kind of, as I've preached this book of 1 Thessalonians, papers out of the way here. As I've preached this book of 1 Thessalonians, we've kind of gone into a sub-study of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the events surrounding that, more so than what Paul mentions here. But it's important for us to understand these things, I think, particularly in the age in which we're in. So, as I've mentioned before, there's nothing scripturally and prophetically hindering the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ right now. Israel is back in our own land. The dry bones prophecy that we see over in Zechariah has been fulfilled already. The dry bones were pertaining to the nation of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ has put sinew back on those bones, and they are the bones speaking of the nation of Israel, and they are alive and back in their own land. It's an interesting thing that, and most people don't know this, the only country that's ever vanished from the map, okay, and then come back into existence in the very same place that they were vanished from, is the nation of Israel. It doesn't typically work that way. When a country is defeated and assimilated by one or two, countries, depending on what the warfare is, one country may have taken over another country or kingdom, depending on what time, where you are in the timeline. Typically, that country does not come back into existence. Okay, they'll go through several different forms sometimes, much like the restructuring of things, the restructuring of things after World War II, after the dissolution of the USSR, that kind of thing. Certain countries have come back to a different form in the same place where they are, but never ceasing to exist and then returning to existence, except for the nation of Israel. And that fits in alignment perfectly with all prophecy concerning that nation. Okay? Pretty miraculous. They have sinew back, the bone, the dry bones that were dead and dry in the desert have been brought back into their land, the nation of Israel. Sinew or muscle, that flesh has been put back upon them. They're alive there, but the breath of life has not been breathed back into her yet. Okay, that's going to happen when the nation as a whole looks upon him whom they pierced and they believe and are saved as a nation. Okay, that's going to be a remnant of the nation of Israel. One third of that nation, at about the midpoint of the tribulation period, when that horde of nations comes down to invade Israel that we talked about last week over in the 38th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, Russia, Togarma, Turkey, Gaul, which is the Western European nations. Who else do we got? Ethiopia, the nations down there, whoever that's going to be. We don't know what specific countries those are, because ancient Ethiopia was a large landmass that is now several different countries, but they're all Muslim. Okay, now Russia is the only standout where they're not necessarily a Muslim country. There's a lot of Muslims in Russia, but the Lord Jesus Christ the Lord Himself is going to have fish hooks in her jaws, pulling her like a horse being led by a bit wherever He wants her to go. So Russia is going to be the ringleader coming against the nation at about the midpoint of the tribulation period, and they're going to sack Jerusalem. Of course, the Lord's going to destroy her. At some point in time, the idol is going to be set up in the new temple that's going to be resurrected on the Temple Mount, and the Antichrist is going to cause that idol to speak. That's going to be the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet over in the book of Daniel. Okay, when they see that miracle, because the devil is going to have miraculous powers. Now, I don't know whether it's going to be through technology or through direct miracles. Likely technology. I mean, I'm surprised at what they have right now. We were just talking about it a little bit before the service. We see these UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena, or we used to call them UFOs, unidentified flying objects flying around all the time. And they're being caught on camera, and they're doing crazy things in the air, like going from 0 to 1,000 miles per hour without any kind of acceleration time or anything like that, just instantaneously. I think somebody's developed a gravity drive. to be able to harness the power of gravity. And you can do that with plasma fields and stuff like that. But all this has been theoretic technology for a long time. But I think now in practice, they've got it. So somebody's testing this stuff out there. It's not little green men, I'll tell you that. Last I checked, there wasn't any little green men in the Bible. If there were, there'd be some more for me to shoot at. Okay, so bullseyeing womp rats on Tatooine, right? You know, anybody that's seen Star Trek, Star Wars, what was that, Star Wars? Yeah, Star Wars, okay. Nigerians are going to listen to this and wonder what the heck I'm talking about. Okay, sorry guys. Nevertheless, so there's some wild technology out there. I was watching a concert, and this is at more than one concert now and music events where they have wild things taking place, like holographic people and things popping up that don't just look like a hologram, okay? They look exactly like people, and then they're flying around and they disappear into some, like, you know, pixie dust or whatever. Looks real to me, all right? So these powers of illusion, if he's going to use technology, I have no idea, but he's going to come with signs and lying wonders where they're so effective and so realistic looking. If the elect were here, that's us, believers, then we would be deceived by it. But we're going to be taken out of the way through rapture prior to that. Thank God for that, too. So all that's going to take place. The nation of Israel will be preserved for the latter part of the tribulation period, the 7 weeks of Jacob's trouble, okay? In her place, which is the place they were when they were preserved in the wilderness for 40 years prior to coming into the land, okay? And the Lord's going to provide for her there for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. It's going to be in Midian, which is going to be Saudi Arabia. How that's going to work, I don't know. Things are going to be quite chaotic. You know, we read Matthew, we read Ezekiel, we read Zechariah, Daniel. The world's not going to be in the same shape that it's in now. There's going to be people still abiding and going about marrying and being given in marriage and buying goods and selling goods and doing the best we can, but it's going to be a wild time. Now, I think there's supposed to be darkness during the last few years of the tribulation period, but I was kind of thinking about this notion. I don't know what's going to cause the darkness. I know the days are going to be shortened, all right? So whether that's going to be an expansion of the sun or a movement of the earth or a solar flare, I have no clue. The Lord's going to use his creation to make it happen. It's going to be hot, way hotter than it is now. So man's super concerned about global warming and climate change and stuff. Well, God's going to be the one that gives it to him since they're so damn concerned about it. Okay? But think about this. When you have a large nuclear weapon launch, okay, and we believe that's going to take place to the United States of America because we might be the Babylon of the 18th chapter of the book of the Revelation, okay? The world's lived deliciously with her, as the scripture says over there, for years. We've been fornicators with the rest of the world, you know, clearly not sexually, but we've laid in bed with everybody. We've made a lot of enemies around the globe in doing so. We're kind of out here in no man's land, and as the scripture puts it, the Babylon, that was kind of a code word for John when he wrote that, the 18th chapter of the book of the Revelation, if it's the United States, it says that we sit a queen and we are no widow. Well, don't we kind of act like that? Yeah. We're just a queen out here in our little palace and nobody can touch us. We are the king of the world. Well, who's the king of the world? The Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to do with us what he will. And so likely not the United States is going to be destroyed. It's the illustration of it is as though a great millstone was cast into the sea. Okay? And if you've ever seen a millstone, I mean, even small ones are big. Okay? They're big grinding stones, so they've got a lot of weight. You're supposed to put the grain, the raw grain, down the middle of it, and it kind of gets ground around in these little grooves, and then, you know, refined powder comes out the edges, and you can sometimes grind it 2-3 times to get down to the size of flour that you desire. Okay? So if you were to chuck one of these multi-thousand pounds millstones into Dexter Reservoir, there's going to be a hell of a water displacement going on. Okay, the displacement will cause a vacuum, the water will crash down into that vacuum and kind of plume out the top, and it sort of looks like a mushroom cloud when that happens. If you ever chucked water rocks into a lake or a river when you're younger, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so if we are going to be annihilated by nuclear, well, it would be a nuclear holocaust, okay, and I think it might be China, I don't know, and we were to strike them also, because in the latter days, you don't hear anything about United States of America, and you don't hear anything about Asia. So if they're taken out of the way, they're no longer an influence over these other countries coming against Israel. Okay, who's Israel's biggest ally? Well, it's supposed to be the United States of America and Canada. Okay, but if we're taken out of the way, their greatest ally, which is the inhibitor of other countries going in and annihilating Israel, although little, you know, small groups can constantly try, Hamas, who's the ones to the north? The Houthis are over in Yemen, Hezbollah in the north. They're all Islamic, radical jihadists, holy war outfits. Yeah, they're attacking them all the time. But nobody has tried any kind of massive attacks. Iran wants to. They're going to. That's the other country that I'm forgetting that's going to be part of the horde coming against the nation of Israel. It's going to be Persia. Okay, Persia is going to come with Russia, Turkey, Ethiopia, and then the European states that join as part of whoever the Gauls are.
Okay. All want to kill the
infidels. Yeah, and they believe that the people of God are infidels, according to Islam. That's correct. So. That's going to take place. Now, if we're out of the way, and because it was, if it was because of nuclear holocaust, I don't know if you ever studied what would happen if we actually went into nuclear war. If we went into nuclear war, it wouldn't just be one country and another country, you know, mutually assured destruction. It would be the destruction of the entire world, because what would take place afterwards? Nuclear winter. Okay? So if a condition of nuclear winter takes place, okay, and there's thick cloud cover across the earth, okay, then we're going to have darkness on the face of the earth. So if that's going to be the cause of the darkness, I don't know. But the Lord is supposed to come, and he's going to split the darkness. There's going to be light from the north all the way to the south. Okay, everyone will see and know the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And during those days, we're going to read this over in Matthew, if I ever get there and stop talking, there's going to be many, many false Christs who come. And they're going to say, oh, false Christ. Christ is over here. Christ is in a cave here. We're not supposed to listen to any of those things, or the Jews aren't, for that matter. We're going to be taken out of the way. We won't be under any influence of these things whatsoever. We're going to be present with the Lord. But there's going to be many, many false Christs who come in that day, because it's going to be a time of trouble and destruction like the world has never seen before. Okay? So, pretty radical times, but that's going to bring about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the conditions we're in right now are what the scripture describes as birth pangs. Okay? When we're having contractions before birth, all you ladies who have given birth know exactly what I'm talking about. I know what they're talking about too, because I've seen them. Okay? There's pains that come and go. Pains that come and go. Okay? So you're in pain. Oh my gosh, it hurts. Then, glad that one's gone. The next one comes. So we're seeing that happen to the earth over and over and over again right now. She's about to give birth to who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So let's read again here in the fifth chapter, verse 1. What I was going to mention was, when I first started that dialogue, monologue, I suppose it was, I was talking to you and you weren't talking at me, was that the nation of Israel is going to be preserved for the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation period in her place. Okay? And so in Midian, she's going to be preserved, and at some point in time, the Lord's going to present himself, and they're going to be looking upon him whom they pierced, and they're going to be saved at that point in time. Okay? They will not be ushered up into the air with us, because that's already taken place. They're going to be ushered into the millennial reign of Christ to join us. Okay? They're the gleanings. All right? And so the millennial reign of Christ will occur after the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to provide a perfect environment for the world to live in again. So whatever condition the earth is in, it's going to immediately be changed. I wish I had a nice loud snap, but I never, there we go, it's not too bad. The earth is immediately going to be brought into a habitable condition again, and it's going to be a perfect condition to live in for 1,000 years. That's the millennial reign of Christ. Okay, you and I are going to come with the Lord Jesus Christ in his second coming. And we're after the Battle of Armageddon, where the Mount of Olives is going to be split into two from the north to the south, and we're going to have the Plain of Megiddo there. And so that's where the battle is going to take place. The Lord's going to destroy his enemies, bring down fire from heaven, burn them up. And so After that, the kingdom is going to, the millennial kingdom is going to be established upon the earth. We're going to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ there for 1,000 years. And I've mentioned this before also. We're also going to have the goat nations enter in as well. Who the heck are the goat nations, you ask? Okay, they're going to be all the nations that have done good unto Israel, good unto God's people. All right, now, good as in a moral sense. And you say, oh, well, we don't preach righteousness through morality here, Pastor Griffin. Well, that's true. Okay, we're not talking about salvation here. God's going to give them what he calls a righteous man's reward, and he's got a purpose for it. So a righteous man's reward, they're going to be given a millennial life. Okay, they're not going to be in the camp of the saints. We're going to be in the camp of the saints. We are going to make up the camp of the saints. That's going to be the first meeting of the church universal. Okay, the Catholic Church calls themselves the universal church. The universal church has never met yet. We are all local churches. Okay, we are all one with the universal church, but we haven't convened as the church universal yet. All right, that's going to take place when the Lord comes with all his saints and he establishes the millennial reign of Christ upon the earth. All right, so those goat nations that come in and are going to live round about us are not going to have a sin nature that is active. That means death is going to be staved off for them for a while, for 1,000 years. And we say, how the heck is that going to happen? Well, there's a good answer. The devil is going to be bound. Okay? So he will not have influence upon man. The influence that he has came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's going to be stayed off for a while. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to basically turn that off. Okay? How that's going to occur, I'm not God, okay? But he's going to make it happen. All right? So 1,000 years will go by. The devil's going to be loosed for a little season, okay? That's a short while. The sin natures are going to be reactivated in the goat nations that surround the camp of the saints in the Middle East. We're all going to live in the Middle East someday, okay, for 1,000 years, all right? And they're going to turn against the Lord in the camp of the saints, all right? That's going to prove that we are not a product of our environment, okay? We always say to our kids, oh, don't go play with little redheaded Johnny down the street, and even though my kids and my wife are redheaded. don't go play with Johnny down the street because he's going to teach you a bunch of bad things because that's a bad house down there. No, no. No, your kids are going to know all the bad things all the kids know right out of the chute. Okay? As soon as they see it, it's going to suck right into their brains. Yeah. It's their nature to do so. I was speaking a little bit about sin natures here in the bulletin this morning in my pastor's corner. Okay, it's not a conditional thing that sometimes we're in sin and sometimes we're not. We got to get our heads wrapped around what our sin nature is. Our sin nature is, it's our very existence to be in sin at all times. That is who we are. It's our nature to sin. It's our nature to think contrary to God. Okay, we've been brought back into right communion with God or fellowship with God based upon the personal work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because our sins are under the blood, okay? But we still have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that is, in a cursed vessel, okay? So, once the camp of the saints is being ransacked by those that are now operating with the devil who's been loosed for a short season, the Lord's going to send down fire from heaven, burn up this creation, and at that point in time, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. All these things may happen in very short succession here. Okay, I don't know. We're right at the door, and it's the Lord's going to come, and nobody's going to know the day or the hour. We may know the season. We can look at the birth pangs. We can see the very coming of our Lord Jesus Christ happening soon based upon the world events that are happening around us, but nobody knows the day or the hour. So it could be a surprise at any time. All right? So this is why we study these things. This is why I've gone over these things recently with you, so you're not in the dark, so you're not concerned, so you're not afraid. All right? So he says in verse 1 of the 5th chapter, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." Those were likely taught to the Thessalonians through the seven feasts of the Jews, because the entire Advent, first and second of our Lord Jesus Christ, plus the church age, is contained within the seven feasts of the Jews in a typological manner, or an illustrative manner, okay? For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, he's going to come as a thief in the night to the unsaved, because one's going to be taken and one's not. One's going to be at the millstone, one's going to be driving, one's going to be doing this, one's going to be doing that. One's going to be taken, and the other one's going to remain. All right? What likely will occur when the rapture happens is the Antichrist will present himself, and I don't know how much influence that Islam is going to have with the Antichrist. This is something that we couldn't really see in the past few years. But it seems like the whole world is turning into Islamists. It's an interesting thing. Okay, but you know, we see Ishmael in the work of the devil, and it all happened through Abraham, where Ishmael's hand is going to be against every man, and every man's hand against his. So in the latter days, these things shall increase. But as soon as we're raptured out of the way, the Antichrist is going to present himself, and he's going to have the false prophet to declare him. The false prophet may be the Pope, and the Catholic Church has been kind of capitulating on their doctrines over the last 20 years. They've been bringing in everything that they possibly can, trying to bring everybody together in one big ecumenical movement. And so it will not be too much of a stretch of the imagination for them to take in Islam as well. We'll see. But whatever happens, the Antichrist is going to be the great uniter, so much so that the nation of Israel is going to be dwelling safely, or believe they're going to be dwelling safely, so they're going to take down their walls. All right? So we'll see how that plays out. We'll be able to watch it from afar while we're in the presence of the Lord. I don't know how much of this stuff we're going to know when we're with him, because we're not going to be exposed to that which is going to cause sorrow. But likely, I think we're going to be well informed of what the plan of the Lord is, because the word of God is going to abide how long? Forever. Okay? And we're going to be all knowledgeable about the word of God. We're going to know even as we're known. So he says here in the third verse, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." This is the nation of Israel. Okay? And the great tribulation period is going to be a time of horror like the world has never known. Okay? And so that's why they call it the time of Jacob's trouble, Israel's involved, or the great tribulation period, or the great period of trials. Okay? "But ye are all children of the light, and the children..." I've lost my spot here. Here we go. "Ye are all children of the light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep." Okay? What are you doing when you're sleeping? Nothing. You're oblivious. You're asleep. You're in a state of... You're comatose. Okay? Well, what are we supposed to be as believers? Active about the things of the Lord, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, becoming more mature than we were last time we gathered around the Word of God, so we might know even as we're known. And the more mature we are, the more we understand the peace of God that passes all understanding, because the world cannot get its claws into us. We belong not to the world, but to the Lord Jesus Christ who saved our souls. Okay? "So, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Actually, before we go to 28, I want to go to 24. This is probably better to go to first. Matthew chapter 24. Now, this is likely going to take me a few weeks to get through, but we'll get started here. Let me find the spot for you here. Let's just start in verse 1. "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple." Remember, in his earthly ministry for the 3 years that he was upon the earth, 33 years that he was upon the earth, excuse me, 3 years for his priestly ministry, he was often meeting in the palisades of the Temple Mount with all who would hear his voice, because it wasn't, people kind of get the Temple Mount, they don't understand how to construct it in their mind, okay? It's not one big temple jutting out of the earth, okay? It's a huge foundation, like one big old parking lot, okay? I can't remember the exact diameters, but I'll look them up for you. It's a big rectangle, so I don't know what the length of the sides are, but it's large. Okay, and I'll write them down in my Bible for you. I used to have them memorized, but that was years ago. So there was a kind of a covered colonnade area around the outside of the temple. You had the altar, and then you had what represented the dwelling place of God, which was the temple proper, the holiest, and then the holiest of holies within. Okay, this is where the priests who was the priestly line?
Levi,
thank you very much. The word was, every message I preach, one word at least won't come to mind, but you're all here to remind me, so thank you for that. The Levitical priesthood, one I should not be forgetting. Okay, the Levitical priesthood, I didn't forget it, it just slipped, you know. I had too much fun when I was younger, apparently. All right, yeah. So I have this treasure in an earthen vessel also. So the Levitical priesthood would go in and perform their priestly duties in there. It was all supposed to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that the nation of Israel did, okay, in the priesthood, first of all in the tabernacle in the wilderness, later on in the temple in Jerusalem, was supposed to represent the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in type or in illustration. Now, if the Jew looked at all those things, understanding that the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, as we read over in Hebrews, could never take away sin, but what they represented could, or who they represented could, then they would have salvation by faith. Okay, and many Jews did. All the Old Testament saints did. Everyone who's not listed in the Old Testament that believed just like the Old Testament saints were also saved. Okay, so all that was upon the Temple Mount, big area. So the Lord Jesus Christ, as a Jew, could come up in there. Gentiles couldn't. Okay, it's mentioned over in Ephesians, Paul talks about how the barriers were taken away in Christ. There used to be barriers for Gentiles where you couldn't go up so far up the temple steps to go up onto the mount. Those are removed in Christ because there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. We're all what? We're one in Jesus Christ. Okay? And so he would have a minister with the Jews up there and in various other places, the Mount of Olives, Gethsemane, that kind of thing. Okay? So he departed from the temple and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And this is describing the events that took place in 70 AD, okay, when Jerusalem was sacked by the Romans, and they destroyed the temple. And of course, they thought that he was crazy when he said this, but read verse 2. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things, pointing out the temple and the mount? Okay. See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone here, one stone standing upon another, that shall not be thrown down. All right? Now, this was done by the seventh Roman ruler, Titus. Okay? I won't go back into Daniel and go into the various recognized Roman rulers that have to do with the plight of the nation of Israel quite yet, but I do plan on teaching that someday when I know a little bit more about it. Now, it was done by Titus under his rule. Now, the stones that encompassed the Temple Mount and the temple itself were enormous, okay? We're talking some of them the size of a school bus. So they're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ wondering, who's going to knock these stones over? We're going to have a big hurricane? You know, they thought he was nuts. Those that believed him understood it. They couldn't quite see the timeline of these things happening, okay? So in 70 AD, Israel was sacked, and they were scattered into the nations of the world. All right? The diaspora, the dispersion. Now, verse 3. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when. Now, there's three things they ask here. Tell us when shall these things be? Because they figured that if the temple was going to be toppled, this has got to be the end of the world. All right? Because nobody's going to knock over this sucker. We built one to last. This is not the tabernacle in the wilderness. This is the temple made of white marble. Okay? And what, second question, and what shall be the sign of the coming of the end of the world? This is not world, but age. Okay? That's how it's written in the Greek. End of the age. Okay? Now, the Jews require a what? They require a sign. Now, the Lord says, no sign shall be given it except for the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, not the whale, the great fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, as he was after he was pulled down from that cross and put into the tomb And he was there for Friday night, Saturday night. And he rose before dawn, just before Sunday came. And so that's why we call, you know, Sunday's the day of worship. That's the day our Lord was resurrected from the dead. We start our week at rest. Unlike the nation of Israel, who the first day of the week is Saturday, they start their week at work. Okay, they're under the law. That's why we meet on Sunday. We are at rest every single day of our lives. We don't have to work to fulfill some sort of law to please our God. Our Lord Jesus Christ did that. Okay? So, he says, what shall the sign of the coming of the end of the age be? So he asks when, what, and how. All right? So in verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Okay, because there will be deception, not so much right now, other than the deception we have coming from the false Christian outlets and false religious outlets of the world, but we've always had that. There's going to be widespread deception the closer we get to the Great Tribulation period. All right, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. This is likely going to occur after things get really bad. Okay, now, we have had false Christs in the past. We don't hear so much about false Christ in the day in which we live, but think about this. It doesn't take a whole lot of disaster for people to start getting desperate. And then the cuckoos come out of the bunch, okay? And at the end of the age, we're going to have demon activity increasing. So we're going to have religious demon activity that's going to be very high-minded and present and in your face taking place in the latter days. And it doesn't matter if this is 5 years from now or 50 years from now. If I had to guess, we're probably within 100 years of all these things taking place. Is that a very long time? No, that's a drop in the bucket as far as time is concerned. Okay, so there's going to be false Christs, false professions. And he says here in verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Remember, birth pangs. Okay, these things are, there's some pain here and then it subsides. Some pain there and then it subsides. Some pain here and then it subsides. Okay, so we have wars and rumors of wars. We have more wars now on the face of the globe than we've ever had before, okay? And they're continual, on, off, on, off. We're not even talking about the ones, and there's some bad ones taking place. Iran and, who's the other country? Not Turkey, but they're in alliance. Iran and somebody just started fighting across the border.
Iraq?
No, it's not Iraq. Pakistan, that's correct, thank you. They're fighting now. We've had Azerbaijan and Armenia fighting for a long time. There's probably 15, 20 different wars happening in Africa right now that are active. We have a lot of wars going on, okay? The world is very unsettled. Something's boiling and bubbling up here, okay? So we got wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse or different places. And we see all that taking place right now. Okay? All these, are the beginning of sorrows. And if we break this down into the Greek, it's describing what is like birth pangs. Okay? The result is pleasant. But is it generally a pleasant experience to go through vaginal birth? I don't want to do it. You women, during that time, I don't know how the Lord must have given you a special grace for that hour, because that sounds like hell to me. But yet you go through it, you know. It's not happy. The result is happy, but the process is painful. Okay. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Okay. And they shall kill you. Remember, this is the Lord counseling the nation of Israel. Okay? Believers in Jesus Christ are not going to be part of this. We're going to be taken out of the way. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. We see that boiling up right now. Okay? Anti-Semitism in the world is probably at a higher point than it was even before World War II. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many, and because the iniquity shall abound. The love, and this means the love of God, the love of many shall wax what? Cold. Okay, what is the iniquity? The iniquity is the lawlessness. The singular, we're talking about a singular lawlessness. The singular lawlessness we're referring to is when Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and plunged the human family into a state of sin. Okay? The iniquity is that we can be like God by what we do, or that we are our own independent moral agents. Is not God's counsel the counsel of good and the counsel of evil? Well, now we can come up with our own counsel of good and counsel of evil. So in practice, what we receive from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a nature to be like the one who caused the fall, who declared himself to be God. And so we become our own little gods, each and every one of us. We're all idolaters. Okay? Until we're brought back into a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ by the person and work of Christ, and not according to anything that we've done. Because everything that we have done and can do is all condemned because of the flesh. Okay? Our nature to sin. Right? So, it says here, where were we? And verse 12, and because the iniquity shall abound. So we see this taking place right now. How many people love coming to church and to hear the truth of the Word of God? A handful. The Lord's always had a handful. Sometimes it's a big handful. Sometimes it's a very little handful. A remnant. Okay? There's never been, other than the day of Pentecost, where there was, 5,000 saved in one day, there were great movements to salvation in the early church for the establishment of the church. Okay? So it wouldn't be eradicated by jailing or killing or torture or any of those things. Okay? Those things have to take place in the infancy of a movement. Okay? But as far as salvation goes, there's never been great wholesale swaths of people saved. People would rather listen to what makes them feel good. What makes them feel good? That they're good people, or they can be good people. That's the doctrine of self-esteem. It's flush through every single religious organization in the world. There's a way which what? Seemeth right unto a man. That's what man received from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that we can be justified by the goodness that's within us. But how many good people are there? There's none good but who? But the one God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous. How many? Not even one. No, not one. Okay? And so, the love of many shall wax cold. So we're seeing now in the latter days a great falling away from the truth of the Word of God. All right? That's very evident. So I find myself to have a need for the Scriptures, a need to hear the Word of God. I need to be fed spiritually. I feel like I'm wasting away, spiritually speaking, when I don't get my fill of the Word of God. But that's not the case with lots of people. Most Christians in the day in which we live are fleshly, and it's a sign of the times. Okay, I wish it were not so, and you know I always kind of hope that and pray to the Lord that we're going to have a bit of a, I don't like to use the term revival, but it describes coming back to the truth of the Word of God and pushing aside the world. You know, I always hope that's going to occur here at some point in time. But if it occurs or doesn't occur, what are we supposed to do? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Where two or three gather together, who's in the midst of us? Right. The Lord Jesus Christ promised that he's right here with us right now. And he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So what's the problem? Well, there isn't any. We're operating in a completed work. How many souls did Noah have to put in that big old ark that he made? Just 8. Okay? And he preached for 120 years. That poor guy. He must have felt like an abject failure. But no, he knew. He knew what the times that he was living in. And as we read here, or I think it's over in Zechariah. In fact, let me go over there real quick, see if I can find the verse. Zechariah, Malachi, it's the second book from the end of the Old Testament. Okay, it might be over in Ezekiel. The nation of Israel, city, okay, that's not it. I'll have to find it later on. But it says, as in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Okay? Where only the evil was present how much? How long? Continually. The evil is what came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's that sense that man can make himself right before God, or whatever God he believes in, even if that's himself, by the life that he lives, or the flesh. And we're seeing that evidently right now in the age in which we live. Okay, so back over here in Matthew. Verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So the nation of Israel is going to be saved as a remnant. And this grace, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That's going to be the preaching of the 144,000 saints that likely were resurrected when our Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected and brought into the presence of God. Because remember, he was caught up together in or with the clouds. Those clouds were likely believers that were risen from the graves below Golgotha. And they could see those resurrected men walking in the streets of Jerusalem after there was an earthquake below Golgotha and the light came back on, because it was dark for 3 hours there when the Lord Jesus Christ was upon the cross before he bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. Okay? I started late, so I'm going late. Oh, there we go. Bam, we're done. All right, let's go back into this next week. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your love, for your mercy, and for your grace. We thank you so much, Lord, that we can know the things that are going to occur before your second coming, so that we're not left, quote-unquote, in the dark, that we're always in the light or in the truth of the Word of God. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.